for Melbourne Airport parking. It's cheaper than you think. melbourneairport.com.au and Self Wealth. Trade the ASX, no matter what size the trade, for just $9.50 per trade.
On 11.16 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Yes, Tim's here thanks to AR Property Investment. Learn about property investment one-on-one, and we're always here thanks to Melbourne Airport parking and Self Wealth.
Been a bit disappointed with the response to Simon O'Donnell this morning. I thought he was okay, but a lot of negativity coming off the SMS this morning.
No, that's not true.
I thought he did a good job.
I think you're feeling I think you're feeling a little bit vulnerable. Morning all, Simon O'Donnell upstaging everyone. He'd been inspired choice as a regular. That's Cheers Greg from Caulfield South. Well, he is. He's a regular Fridays. Simon O'Donnell will be joining us. I'd love to have this man as a regular, but he's very busy. You'll see him on AFL Tonight, the trade special. Nicky Del Santo, SEN Zone. Welcome, mate.
Good morning, boys. How are we all?
Well, I'm enjoying your work. You're everywhere. You're right in the middle of this trade stuff. Not that there's been a great deal to talk about, but we'll get your thoughts on a few things that you think might happen.
A lot of speculation at this stage, Gaz, but we feel like there will be a lot happening. And before I do get started, what is this that I hear early about Jobe and Collingwood?
It was a little thing on the news last night. They're old mates. They just caught up for a cup of coffee. That's all. Yesterday.
And Tim's never forthcoming when it comes to his superstar son.
Can you shed any light on this, Gaz?
I can't.
It's not your son.
What I have said is that I'll get Jobe on if he doesn't present more facts.
100-1 and drifting. You.
Well, I can confirm I have got Jobe Watson, and he will be speaking to us before 9 o'clock.
No, you haven't.
I have.
Don't promise things you can't deliver.
I'm not. 100%. John Black Sox, just give me a nod. Yes, done. And also, while we've got him, I hope he's not listening. I want to talk to him about a speech he made at the Essendon Best and Fairest, which is quite extraordinary. What have you got for us? I know nothing's dropped, but there's lots of stuff in the wind. So you talk us through. As I said, you're doing the AFL Tonight trade special on Fox Footy, which is great. Yeah, you are listening to SEN throughout the course of the day. Where do you see this trade period just starting to get busy?
Well, I've listened to a few comments, and I was listening to you boys on my way in, and I thought one of Tim's points was spot on, that we don't know what the... God forbid. We don't know the value of players just yet, and you still feel like you're waiting for someone to be traded for a certain value. And that's like buying a house. That's the market price, and then you can work everything else around that. We haven't had that just yet. I mean, we get the Rockcliffe compensation, 18 slides out to 19. Yeah. That's compensation. It's completely different to trade value. So I'm still waiting for this moment. And then once one falls, you feel like all the others will drop in into place. I'm not an expert in this area, Gaz. It's completely new to me. I was involved in a trade, so I can relate a little bit to the emotions of
how
what...
How did your trade go? What did you get traded for, by the way?
I was compensation in the end as a free agent. Yep. I think it was in the low 20s.
You would have been disappointed with that, though, wouldn't you?
I'm a realist. Tim. I think the Saints were disappointed. I think they wanted a little bit more, but if anything, went high.
Also tied to the financial deal, the new deal, and also the length of the deal, yeah?
Yeah, correct.
That's all the things that are thrown into the melting pot.
Yeah, and I enjoy where the current state of play is at for AFL players. We speak about free agency, which the players pushed really hard for and got. But now we talk about them like they're pieces of meat, and they are in some regards, because we follow the trends of American sport, we follow the trends of European soccer, where you come and go, and where is loyalty in our game? Well, we're still, I guess, trying to fill that out a little bit, and that's... Just currently where we are.
You've been very outspoken too on the conversation of players getting homesick, and you say, well, that's absolute bulltish. You know, why are we talking about players getting homesick? I mean, this is the system you operate in. You know, some players in other parts of the world play in different countries.
Yeah.
In America, the players go all over the states. They play somewhere. No one ever talks about this homesickness thing. Is it, though, the fact that we're talking about younger people? We're talking about 18, 19-year-olds as opposed to these other systems where mostly they're mature-age type people?
Potentially. You look at the college system. They leave home at 17, 18 to go college for four years.
Yeah.
And then they go and play professional sport if they're lucky enough to go on. When I refer to homesickness... I can understand you want to go home. I've got no issue with people wanting to move back to Melbourne. It's the main state for football in Australia. Completely understand that. And I don't know if we just throw out the comment, it's homesickness, rather than actually getting to the crux of it. He just wants to play in Melbourne. He just wants to be closer to his... Whatever it may be. I just don't know if homesickness is the actual reason why players have to come back. It's not all of them, but it does put a lot of pressure on interstate clubs and clubs in Melbourne that are trying to get players from other... states, it's a bit of a risk. And I just don't like this concept of, you know, we're Brisbane, we're the Gold Coast, we're trying to build, or we're Adelaide, or we're in Perth. Oh, it's risky to get the best kids in Australia because they're from Melbourne. They'll want to go home. You put your hand up to be drafted. You've got to go anywhere that you were picked. And it's a privilege. It's a great role to be able to do to play AFL footy. But then this threat, I'm going home in 2 years. You know, give me a longer contract, or I need more money to stay. Otherwise, I'll go home. Okay. That's the bit I completely understand it.
It's a bargaining chip, though, really.
It is at times. And I completely understand it. I just don't like the concept of it as a whole.
And is there an answer to it? I mean, it has been floated that draftee should be at the length of contract, or the commitment should be 4 years as opposed to two. Do you think that would make a difference? That's what I'm saying is, at the moment, you have to stay for two.
Yeah. The counter-argument to that, though, is, Gaz, if I'm a football club and I have to take a draftee for 4 years, what happens if they're no good, or you know that things aren't working after one or two? Which happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, a lot of players don't even get an opportunity to play at all. So then you're stuck with a player on your list that you don't necessarily want for an extra 2 or 3 years.
Soccer players leave home as young as 10, please. That's off the SMS. That might be a bit dramatic.
Exactly. Let's throw some names into the discussion here, okay? Because I'm a little bit surprised.
Into
the ether. We haven't heard, pre all this draft period, you know, during the season, we were talking about the possibility of Tippett maybe going somewhere else.
Yep.
Okay, leaving Sydney, and, you know, there's a lot of clubs that could probably do with somebody that could play that power forward ruck type position. His name hasn't surfaced at all the first week.
Is your
this.
Take on that no one has asked about him at this stage? Yeah, and I'm completely with you, Tim. I've looked at him throughout the year, and I thought the two clubs that would be desperate for a Kurt Tippett during the football season was Collingwood and Richmond. Now, completely accept that Richmond may not be a suitor right now because of this forward structure that's worked so well for them. They've won a grand final. They love five little whippets running around at the feet of Jack. So does he fit there? I think he's a ruckman first.
I do too.
I think so. Then you got to work. So does he fit at Collingwood? Well, maybe not because Grundy's there. They've re-signed Cox. So where does he fit into that structure? I think as a forward option, he'd be fantastic at Collingwood to support Darcy Moore. Why his name hasn't been brought up, I'm not sure. I think that the Swans need to offload a like Kurt Tippett or someone like Kurt Tippett to free up a little bit of cap space.
There's a couple of answers to that. Now, this is the question that we've asked, is that the money is too much.
Yep.
So if a club wants to take him, they're not taking him at $800,000. And then Sydney are going, well, we're not going to pay $400,000 of your wage.
Which I'll throw to you just before you continue, because this is the other part. Does the player stay knowing? So players do this, once again, we compare it to overseas sports, which we all love. Players stay because they're going to get paid no matter what, and Kurt's going to get his money if he stays at Sydney. Or do you take a little bit less, maybe substantial list, whatever it has to be, to know that you're going to be a regular player because you want to play football?
I think that's the key.
Well, that's the next part of the equation. Is we spoke to Tom Harley, and this surprised me because I was of the same opinion that he was struggling and might be superfluous. And Tom was anything but. He said, no, we love Kurt. We love what he does. He's had bad injuries. He hasn't been able to get his body right. We reckon if he gets right and has an uninterrupted pre-season, then he's going to have a role to play.
Are they going to play against the trend? I mean, we talk about this current sort of trend that Richmond has created. And we look at, say, the last time they lined up, the Sydney Swans, they were super tall in their forward line. And it was one of the criticisms that came out of that loss and another loss during the season too, about the fact that they might have been a little bit top-heavy in their forward line. Do you think they're going to buck the trend up there in Sydney and say, okay, that works for you, we're going to make this work for us, and this is going to be a great tool and a difference, a point of difference for us?
That's what I've loved about Richmond this year, and I put my hand up to say I had no idea that Richmond were going to do what they did.
I don't think they did at the beginning of the year, to be honest.
Yeah. No, they did.
For me to be surprised, I think they were surprised. What I love about Richmond, and to put it in context, is they've backed in their system. This is how we're going to play. You don't have to play like us. You don't have to copy us, but it's going to be our system versus yours. And I guess the Swans have done that in part because you've always known what you're going to get when you play against the Swans. Inside midfield is just going head to head. We've got Buddy up front. You know what you're going to get. I love that Richmond can say, this is what we're going to give you this every week. It's pressure. We're coming at you from all angles. But I don't think everybody has to copy them because not everybody's the same. If the Swans have a lot of talls, and you've got to keep in mind, Tippett didn't play a lot of the year through injury, gets dropped. Mm. But I don't see that as an issue to say, okay, I'm sorry, the game's gone past having five or six talls on the ground at one time. Yeah. That's your style. Try and exploit the opposition because they might be a bit smaller.
Okay, it was a failure in the last game they played year, though, wasn't it? It was an abject failure. Yep. They had these blokes who couldn't run, they couldn't get to the contest. Richmond just absolutely swarmed and they were able to rebound on them.
Yeah, they were. And the other one with Tippett, just to throw that, I don't know if they want to stockpile a backup. You know, for them to say, you know, we love Kurt Tippett, we want him to play when he's healthy. Well, where? I mean, there's only 22 spots and there's players that are currently playing decent footy to warrant a position. So where does Kurt, does he play reserves? And then when somebody will go down, does go down, then he can then support him. It's almost, it reminds me of English soccer where they just stockpile all these really good strikers, but half of them sit on the bench.
Yeah,
just so they don't play for an opposition club.
So just on the Kurt Tippett, last year, Sam McClure points out, he's taken less than extended himself out. So the
that's right, he did too.
That I bandied around is the wrong figure. So the suspicion is it's around somewhere around 600 and he's pushed himself out to 2020.
What's going to change over the preseason, though, for you, Gary, for him to all go from where he's currently positioned, and we can only determine that by where they play him or when they play him, to sort of jumping ahead? Or, I mean, Dell says, okay, he's a ruckman forward. Okay, therefore, he has to go past Naismith as their preferred choice to burn the ruck.
Naismith's
Sinclair,
not Polly Farmer.
Well, I understand that, but I know what you're saying, but they're viewing Naismith right now as being ahead of Kurt Tippett in terms of a ruckman.
Yeah, that's right. But they also are saying that he hasn't had a great run at it, Kurt Tippett. This was coming out of Sydney.
Injury-wise.
Yeah. And if he gets himself right, physically right, body right, has an uninterrupted crack at it, then maybe he can. Maybe he and Naismith can coexist.
What about a Western Bulldogs?
Well, they've got Boyd. He's virtually the same, exactly the same player, is he not?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Could you have two of them? Could you have two, you know, big guys that can both play on their day, but you're not quite sure?
Well, they've also got Cloak, and I know he's only pinch hit in the ruck, and he's only done a tiny bit this year. They both need to play.
Okay. Well, Park Tippett. Yep. What about Ryan Griffin? We haven't seen Ryan Griffin really for two seasons. Do you think that he's got some football left in him or some currency?
I rate him very highly. This one got thrown up yesterday. It's a little bit more speculative. Could Ryan Griffin play for someone like a Melbourne? You know, I think all clubs, maybe excluding a couple, need polished foot skills. And I love the pressure of the game. It's what we always speak about. Defence wins premierships.
Yep.
Absolutely. But I'm a massive believer in it's really hard to win the football. Let's try and kick it to someone on your team. That also helps in regards to scoring going forward.
Melbourne supporters straight away turn around Dell and say, we've got one of them. His name's Jack Watts.
Yeah.
That's what the response is.
I want to talk about Jack Watts and the stringer scenario later on. Yeah, he is. I see Jack Watts needs to play up the ground a little bit more, let him run a little bit free. I don't see him necessarily as a third tall that's planted in the forward line all the time.
I reckon against Ryan Griffin right now, if you're looking at Ryan Griffin...
What's your concerns?
Well, I'm looking at Brett Deledio, and guys have had a lot of... Even the Essendon players that missed a whole 12 months, coming back at around that 30 age bracket, and how difficult they found it to get back into the hurly-burly and the continuity of playing AFL football and getting back to their best. Ryan Griffin's hardly played for two seasons now.
Ankles. Gaz, could you see a Ryan Griffin style or type helping Melbourne jump from where they currently are? Should have played finals, could have, didn't.
It's a good question,
jumping
Nicky
straight up.
This is the speculative stuff that we've brought you in to talk about, and I will take that under advisement whilst we speak to our man from Sportsbet and give you an answer.
From Melbourne Airport Parking, book your parking online. It's cheaper than you think. And Self Wealth, winners of the Australian Business Award 2017 for software innovation.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Well, a lot of love for Nick Del Santo in the room here. A lot of SMS traffic coming through. They love the fact that...
Any positivity?
No, it is.
No, there's a lot of positive
80%
stuff.
Positive, Nick.
No, I found
which
one.
Is as good as you can possibly find. 100%
thanks,
agree
Mom.
With Del. My son is in the draft this year, and my wife and I have spoken to him, and if he goes interstate, it is for good, and he agrees. He was planning on going to college for either baseball or basketball in America for 4 years. So living in Brisbane, etc., is an easy option.
That's right. And if you are a baseball fan, Washington lead the Cubs 1-0.
Score alert.
At the bottom of the third, okay.
Score alert.
And that message from that mother out there as well would be music to the ears of our next guest, David Noble, who's the Brisbane General Manager of Football. Good morning to you, David.
G'day, Tim and boys. How are you going?
That's exactly what you want to hear from a mother of a prospective draftee.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, to be honest, having done a bit of research overseas, I think we perpetuate the issue at times by continuing to talk about it and allow it to be raised. It is a national competition, and I think it's an issue that we need to deal with, and unfortunately it's there, but when we continue to talk about it, it continues to come up.
David, Nick Del Santo here. Good luck in the next couple of weeks. Can I ask you about how cautious you are, or your process, therefore, in drafting players or free agencies, however they may come to your club, that aren't from your home state?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one, Dil, having been at a second interstate club now. You are aware of it. There's no doubt about that. I think it comes down to the aspect of you continuing to back in your culture, your capacity to still go after your best talent. There's no doubt about that. We've always felt that you draft your talent and you trade for needs. So you've got to be aware of it, but I don't think you can afford to let it, you know, really spook you in that sense that restricts you from perhaps considering someone that's going to help elevate you up the ladder. We are seeing the knock-on effect, I believe, of the free agency movement coming in, that now we've had more contracted players that are being discussed or potentially trying to be traded because of the fact that, you know, we lock up free agents earlier and for longer. And so therefore, if you want to move, and we all want to make our teams better as a competition, there's only another market that you can go to, and that's the players that are in contract.
Yeah, and David, perception's everything, I guess, in this game. And you've got a draft coming up where you guys are going to have a really strong hand, and you want to be able to draft the best talent, irrespective of whether they're local Queenslanders or Victorian country boys, or whatever the case may be. And yep. This whole Josh Shackey situation is almost a perception around at the moment that perhaps you're happy, you being the Brisbane Lions, would be happy to see him gone from the Brisbane Lions Footy Club.
Yeah, it's a bit distasteful, to be actually honest, Gary, in the fact that, you know, we're almost trying to push him out the door. I'm not really sure where that discussion has ever come from, and certainly the way we've tried to handle, you know, Josh's situation in a more mature fashion, to sort of say, look, we think there's a point in time that he might, you know, want to consider going home. We've had those discussions openly and honestly. But, you know, the reality is that if he's not traded, then we'll do everything we can to make Josh an elite player, being a pick two in the competition. Key talls take time. We know that, and we understand that that's difficult. I think if you have a look at his numbers for what he's generated in his first 2 years, he's ahead of some of the other key talls in the competition, including Franklin and Roughhead. So, you know, we're very keen that if Josh and us can't find an equal trade, then he's a required player, absolutely.
And is he able, or is he comfortable with that situation?
Yeah, he is, Tim. Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I think we're all, the comp's advanced really well in its personal excellence and well-being in the welfare area. So we've got a really high-class quality welfare component up there at the moment in Brisbane, and we want to continue to build that out. So we need to continue to put the rigours and the support around Josh to be able to deliver performance that he wants. He's a high achiever, and he's got high expectations, and so he wants to be able to deliver that performance, whether it be in Brisbane or whether it be back at the club in Melbourne.
Dave, can I ask you about Luke Hodge? I think that's a fantastic decision to get someone of his quality and experience to your footy club. What is your expectations of him on field, but probably more off field, in regards to an educational role within the playing group, within a young playing group?
Yeah, it's a great get. Del, you know, it was a conversation that evolved from Fags, to be honest. But look, we feel that there's probably a range of games that, you know, we would manage him through for the year, both on the field. I mean, he finished third in the BNF at the Hawks, which was a great result for us from a performance perspective. So we believe that he's still capable of assisting us and playing a really high level of performance in the back end. But I think off field, it's about what, you know, that success factor looks like, how hard you have to drive yourselves to be able to spend time with our younger crew, you know, like Alex Witherden, Harris Andrews, you know, even the Sam Mazers coming through, Cedric Cox, is to be able to let those guys graft off that experience that Hodgie's had, having seen where they've worked over a long period of time and what that sustainable success looks like.
I think it's exciting. I think there's some really good signs. And if you could add Charlie Cameron, it'd almost be icing. Where does that sit right now? I know, you know, Adelaide are saying, no, he's another year in his contract. What are your expectations when it comes to Charlie Cameron?
Yeah, look, we'll keep working with Adelaide, Gaz. They've got a couple of other, you know, fairly big pieces that they're working on with Lever and Motlop and the like. So, look, it might take just a little bit of time. We're having regular dialogue with those guys. So You know, certainly we're having some discussions. I don't think anything's likely to happen, you know, this week. So I think that's just going to be one that we'll have to continue to try to work through and acquire if we can. It certainly fits into that age bracket, you know, that we've sort of targeted over the last couple of years. Of, you know, the strategy of the next 2 or 3 years list management component for us is to those guys in that 22 to 25-year-old band that are going to help us play finals in the next 2 or 3 years.
Just a couple of quick ones, David. Brisbane General Manager of Football, David Noble, we're talking to. If I came to you today with a very tasty deal for Steph Martin, is there a possibility or is it an absolute no way, go away?
No, well, I wouldn't have thought so, Tim. It's probably more likely to be the no way, go away, but I'd have to have a look at what you're doing. Like you,
it's tasty. It's very, very tasty.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Is it sort of the fish and chips or is it the five star?
It's five star.
Nothing wrong with fish and chips, though.
No, that's right, Del. Absolutely.
Five star fish and chips it is.
Yeah, not sure where all that stuff's come from, Tim. It's I know Steph's perhaps had a look around in the past, but, yeah, I'm not sure where, to be honest, where that ruckin component and issue is come from.
And a quick one on Alan Christensen. He's had a horrible run with injury since he's been up there. How's he tracking at the minute?
Yeah, really good. Yeah, no, he's we got to the bottom of you know, the second fracture this time. Really comfortable. He's advanced a lot further than what he was last time. Yeah, so we're really excited about where actually, you know, what he can do for us going forward. Can I just say before I go, I just want to Tommy Rockliffe and wish him and his family all the best. You know, as a great Brisbane Lions supporter, player for captain, all Australian, best and fairest. We wish him well. We hope that he has success at Port, but he's certainly always welcome at our place.
That's the epitome of a win-win.
Oh,
there.
You've handled that departure beautifully. In fact, both sides of that departure have handled it beautifully.
Hey, David, I think that, as we said earlier, I think the Brisbane Lions very much on the right track. Some great signs under Chris Fagan, and good luck in the next weekend with the draft upcoming.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you, David Noble there, the General Manager of Footy up in Brisbane. Hey, next, plenty of names on Dell's list of trade targets, some other speculative stuff that might happen. I'll get to the Ryan Griffin question. I haven't forgotten about it, first...
It's one of the sweetest smelling uncouplings I've ever known, that, between Brisbane and Rockcliffe.
First, M with the news headlines.
For Melbourne Airport parking, flying, book your Melbourne Airport parking online. It's cheaper than you think. And self-wealth. Trade the ASX, no matter what size the trade, for just $9.50 per trade.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson. With the latest footy news and more, Sam McClure.
For MWT Retail Solutions, experts in pergola roofing and pool fencing. MWTRetailSolutions.com.au.
And you can watch us on Facebook or via our, I don't know, SEN.com.au. Well,
just log off for a couple of seconds.
Well, you were just showing us how Jimmy Cassidy might ride one of the horses in the hospital.
That's exactly what I was showing you. And Nick, there's no audio in the ad breaks, which is good news as well. Samuel Lewis joins us. Samuel?
Thank you, Gaz. We move on to a serious
sometimes
issue.
Sometimes you forget the cameras are on.
Yes, Sam. Sometimes you do. The issue that has been dominating a lot of the front pages of newspapers in the last 48 hours. Richmond seriously not commenting further on the nature of this photo scandal. A brief statement by CEO Brendan Gale yesterday. They will wait for police and their investigation to be concluded. The identity of the player has remained confidential, but it is only a matter of time, I can tell you, before that player's name is either leaked or revealed. And it leads us to this. And Tim, the first question of Meet the Press is aimed at you. Richmond know who the player is at the forefront of this scandal.
Yes, a lot
of
people do.
Should they suspend the player now?
I think they should. I think they should. I think they should be proactive. They know who it is. A lot of people out there know who it is. A lot of people in the media do. They haven't named the player yet. I think that they should make a preemptive strike.
No, you can't.
I think they should.
What, suspend him for 6 weeks while he's on holidays?
No, you don't suspend him for his holiday. You suspend him for next season. And they come up with a determination based on what they know as a penalty for him. And then the law will look after itself as well. And there might be a greater penalty imposed by the law. But I think that they should.
But don't you need to find out the details?
They know the details. The details are there.
The club knows.
The club
knows.
What
do you mean? They know how the photo got
sent out. Yep. Yeah. They know everything.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So once they know that, once they've conducted their own investigation, then I think that they make a penalty or they make some sort of a stand and they preempt whatever happens through the courts, if that gets to the courts.
So you're telling me that the player, the said player, is guilty?
The club knows the player involved and how the message was spread around.
Right, so are you saying, and I'm now asking you on Meet the Press, are you saying that this player should be suspended?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's new information for me. So in other words, you're saying that the player took the photo and then sent it on to...
Well, they're all allegations and they're all obviously under a police investigation. But from what the club know, I think they should suspend the player.
It's not hard to determine, is it?
Yeah.
Well, the only thing would be is if someone got a hold of his phone. That was the question I was asking.
Yeah, exactly. But that's not hard to determine either. You go to the player and you say, okay, how did this happen? How did it leave your phone and get to somewhere else?
Yep.
And hopefully he answers that honestly.
Can I ask you then, as the press,
yes,
if the club is well aware of how this has gone public, how are they supporting the girl in this situation, if at all?
I'm not... that's a question I don't know the answer to as far as the support between the club and the woman involved. I know that the AFL has been in contact with the woman involved and their integrity unit. We'll move on. And before we get to footy, and I want to throw some names at you quickly, some quick hand style and Meet the Press. Dal, Gaz,
yes,
quickly on Ange Postecoglou. Is he being selfish by quitting after the Honduras game?
Selfish? I'm not sure selfish is the word.
But you're saying that he's pursuing other club opportunities?
Oh, how would I know? Oh, money.
Sorry, that's the general talk around.
Yesterday from the people that the ex-soccer experts. Well, his obligation, as I'm told, or as I understand it, was to ensure that Australia qualified for the World Cup in 2018. Is that right?
Yes.
So if he does that, if he fulfills his commitment over the next month, then no, I wouldn't say he's been selfish.
Okay.
You can almost mount a case for him being selfless.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. Tim, before we get to Dow, to footy, why does Adelaide have a much worse record of players leaving their club than Port Adelaide?
I don't know the answer to that question. I mean, it's a good question, and other people have speculated about why that might be. I heard Mark Williams talking about the fact that Port Adelaide has this great history that they've already created around themselves, and therefore the player sort of dissolves into that, which hasn't been the same play. It hasn't been the same place Adelaide Crows. So I don't know that, but I'm sure that they're spending a lot of time trying to work that out themselves.
All right, Dow, trade value, where they're going, where you think they should go. Ryan Griffin.
If he leaves at all, I like Melbourne, Gaz.
Yep, okay. And I'm saying no to Melbourne.
You had some time to think about it.
I finally got the answer.
You don't want him to Melbourne?
No, I don't want Ryan Griffin.
Why?
Well, we got Bernie. We got Jordan Lewis. I'm not sure we need another 32-year-old.
Okay, Daniel Menzel. Del?
Daniel Menzel, I like him at Freo, Sydney, Carlton or Collingwood.
Okay. Josh Shackey.
Josh Shackey, Bulldogs.
Adam Tomlinson.
Ooh. I actually wrote that one down. I like him at the Pies.
Hey, just on Adam Tomlinson. Just on one second, okay? Yep. Adam Tomlinson, we know from GWS, they have said absolutely under no circumstances.
Told us.
Exactly. But
hey, Kevin.
Then why is he meeting with clubs?
For some reason, his name is still circulating.
Well, Tim, sorry, Dale, to cut you off. I just got off the phone as I walked in the door with Greater Western Sydney. They have reconfirmed once again that Adam Tomlinson will be playing Round 1 2018 with GWS, and under no circumstances will he be traded.
They've been emphatic.
Have they changed their stance 2 weeks ago?
They haven't changed. I think there are elements going on in the background, whether that's involving his manager and other clubs and them thinking from him that he's available, I'm not sure. But it's certainly not coming from the Giants.
I hate to cut this short, but I have got an exclusive coming up.
No, you haven't.
And I've got to get to the break. Job Watson has confirmed to me he's going to join us after the break.
No, he's not.
And Tim will owe me $1,000.
From the Holden Centre.
For Melbourne Airport parking, book early online. It's cheaper than you think. And Self-Wealth. Trade the ASX no matter what size the trade for just $9.50 per trade.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Nicky Dell's been with us. You can see him on AFL Tonight, the trade special on Fox Footy. Been a great show. KB up next with Greg Denham, Terry Wallace, Rodney Hogg and John Ralph. Some of the uninformed or uneducated, in fact, vile messages coming through about the young lady in that situation just tells me that the whole world hasn't quite got their head around, you know, what's appropriate and what's not. Anyway, and that they are anonymous, most of those people, which is not surprising. There was a report on Channel 7 News last night, made up to be a big, big story, Del, that Job Watson was seen having a coffee with Nathan Buckley, the coach of Collingwood. The story was read by the father of said player, which was uncomfortable from my own point of view.
Uncomfortable for him too.
Thought we'd go to the source. Job, welcome. I put it to you straight up. Does your dad know that you're going to Collingwood and you're not telling everyone?
Morning, Gary. Caught up with Bucks, who's asked us some advice on his latte art. So that's, that was the reason for the two of us catching up.
Was it uncomfortable when your father rang you and said, "What's going on here? I'm going to lead the 7 News with this"?
He, unlike you, mate, he doesn't have a direct line to me. He has to go through Lady Susie.
I've got to go through Lady Susie too. Oh. What was it? I mean, I know it's all very much tongue-in-cheek, but there is no suggestion that you're going to bob up at any capacity at Collingwood?
No. I was just, I wanted to catch up with Bucks and talk a little bit about retirement and things like that. And it was more a chat about life in general than anything specific.
And speaking of life in general, what I've found with all the best and fairest of recent times, Del, is some of the speeches have been magnificent. Heartfelt. We've had Sam Mitchell fly back and thank Hawthorn. We've had Luke Hodge in tears. I saw Trek Tring go over to Melbourne. Just get out and talk about their players they've played with and their love of life. And then there was you, Joby.
Yeah. I was sitting at a cafe once in New York last year. And I saw an attractive girl sitting across from the table on me. And I said I could go home and leave the cafe right now, or I could write my number on a napkin and give it to her. And so I chased her out of the cafe and I tapped her on the shoulder. And I said, my name's Job. Here's my number on a napkin. And 6 weeks later, she called me back and said, "Would you like to go out on a date?"
And the rest, as they say, is history. That is a beautiful story.
Oh, it's a true story as well, actually. It's how it all happened. And she made me wait 6 weeks before she bothered texting me back.
And then it all led to speculation there may be a wedding, and Tim's been at home with a block of wood trying to whittle a pair of clogs so he can wear it to the big occasion.
They're not I actually got a pair of clogs.
Hey, Job, do you have to wear a pair of dress clogs to a Dutch wedding?
Apparently, I was talking to her grandfather, there's a certain type of socks that you wear to actually get your feet molded to a clog because they're not a comfortable form of footwear.
Would you wear a patented black clog, Wish?
If I had to, Gary.
Now, Job, Nick Del Sano here. Congratulations on a fantastic career. Firstly, there's a lot of players that finish their football career. Some have no idea what the future holds. Some think they know what it is. You're one of the more unique players, and we know about what you did when you had 12 months off. What will you be getting up to on a consistent basis?
Yeah, I guess I got a little bit of a taste for life after footy, but I've got a couple of cafes in New York and a gym opening up in February over there, and actually I've got a buyer's advocacy and property management business here in Melbourne, so I'll be looking at working more in there at Infolio here, and then probably doing a little bit of travel as well back over to New York and seeing how all those things are running over there.
Sounds like football's been holding you back. Thank God it's over.
No. I've enjoyed all my time in footy, but I'm looking forward to life post football as well.
Hey, very good of you. Give us a couple of minutes, Job, and good luck in whatever comes over the next however many years.
No problem, Gary. And just keep my name and number under one to your direct line contact.
Thank you very much. Yes. And if Tim needs you, I'll be able to get a hold of him. There he is, Joe Watson. He was part of the Australian International Rules team, I reckon, last year. You played this show?
No, I played years ago. You were the coach, Gaz.
Oh, thanks for remembering. Hey, that's to be announced today. The squad set to include, we believe, Fife, Dangerfield, Sloane, Pendlebury, Betts, Zorko. They've all committed.
Dusty?
desperately trying to get Dusty.
Melbourne's home of footy is always crystal clear on the SEN app. So download it now. Connect to your car via Bluetooth, then press play.